first in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Welcome, everyone, to Spouting Off. I just have so much fun doing this show. Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern live, we do this show so that you can participate if you'd like. We probably have more listeners after we've taped the show than during, but you never know. That's why I like to give out the number, especially in this first segment. I love call-in talk radio, and let's just be frank and straight up honest here. We're not Rush Limbaugh around here. We don't have that size of an audience, but we are growing, and every little bit helps in the defense of freedom of speech and liberty. And the only way you can defend it is by exercising it. At least that's kind of what I think. So the phone number is 603-816-1590, and you can always call in if you're listening live Tuesday, Thursday, Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern. So it's always a coin toss, which direction I'm going to go. Am I going to focus on the enormous amounts of bad news that validate just what a crisis America is in right now? And there is certainly no shortage of that. On Good News Friday, that's something that Sidney Powell has kind of coined, Good News Friday. She puts out something on her website, and I love looking at her website. I strongly urge you to take a look at it and subscribe if you like. DefendingTheRepublic.substack.com. I'm going to just give you a quickie because I got a couple of others here. In fact, you know, every Friday, I love looking forward to Good News Friday. She starts out by saying the best news of the week is that we're all still here, despite the predictions of a Swedish high school dropout. What is she talking about? She's talking about Greta Thunberg, who is a robotic, sorry to call her this, and this is a clinical term, mind you, useful idiot for her communist parents, sounding the alarm and acting like Chicken Little. We're all going to die. We're all going to die. The world is going to end if you do not start living like the Amish in 2023. Greta Thunberg deleted her 2018 tweet saying the world will end in 2023 after the world did not end. Okay? So just like the Hale-Bopp Comet people who sadly and tragically decided to off themselves. So we hope Greta Thunberg doesn't do that, because actually she's really good for people who have some common sense. She very quietly deleted her tweet that said the world would end in 2023. Now, I can't help but just, okay, so that's as much as I'm going to tell you about that. Do go to Good News Friday and Sidney Powell's site. You don't have to agree with it all, but it sure is nice to have a compilation of good news. Now, there is one piece of horribly awful news that I will simply comment upon, because I commented upon it on Twitter, and I want to direct you, if you would be so kind, to follow me at KarenCataline.com. If you know how to spell my name, it's the same name on all social media on which I am, and that isn't many. It's Twitter, it's Facebook, it's Truth Social, and Getter. which a lot of our listeners, we have listeners on Getter. So please follow me on Getter. I'll follow you back. The bad news is big, giant headline. Another conspiracy theory turned out not to be a conspiracy theory at all. Epic Times, one of our favorite publications here, as you know, headline, CDC bought phone data to monitor Americans' compliance with lockdowns, contracts show. So not only is that a major violation of our privacy in both spirit and, I would think, in law, but it blares what was really going on all along. It was about obedience. It was about compliance. It was about shutting down Americans and seeing how willing they would be to shut down their lives because the government and governments around the formerly free world said so, right? So we knew it. We thought that that was what was happening. That is why the government, quite some years ago, bought Obama phones for everybody. They wanted everybody to be connected to the technocracy so that they could surveil and follow people. If Stalin and the most horrific tyrants in recent and not so recent history had access to this kind of technology to surveil people, to get into their lives in ways that these tyrants never could have imagined, it would have been a great nightmare. And that's the nightmare we are watching. Irresponsible, narcissistic, arrogant, ignorant, baby doc dictators who not only have decided for us without a vote how we are to live, how what we will do, who will live, who will die, that we will be we will own nothing but be happy while they own everything, being happy, dictating to the rest of us peons what our lives will be like. You know, this is not new in history. It never has been. Human beings who want to control other human beings are as old as time. And if these dictators had access to this kind of technology, then we would have seen even more horrific atrocities. And that is sadly what we are at risk from. The most arrogant, ignorant narcissists, hypocrites, are the ones who have decided that they are our betters. That can't be a good thing. And our wonderful great founders knew that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. And that's not even the main thing I was going to talk about. The good news, as I see it, is that there are examples, models for us all, courage and guts and principles. And they are in this week's news. When we hear there are more of us than there are of them, well, that's true. We have to cultivate our own unique brand of what these guys have in common and what they are modeling for the rest of us. Not that we have to be them, but we have to be our own versions of courage, guts, and principles. Who am I talking about? The first example is Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson just recently commented, and it's funny, I didn't get the article after all, that he's ashamed. He was ashamed that he was part of the media marching in lockstep when everyone, even on the right, was jumping on the bandwagon of the Iraq war. It's only many moons later did we find out that it wasn't such a great idea. It wasn't justified. And yet conservatives got on board with the war machine. And now we're finding out that that too was corrupt and dishonest in many, many ways. And they baited and switched. They went from 9/11, which was clearly The Saudis were involved with that, and they've been fighting ever since. People and survivors of 9/11, who they pay tons of money in lawyers' fees so that nobody can ever sue them for 9/11. That's another story entirely. They went from that to going after Iraq, which they'd intended to do all along. Now we find out that the war machine is really one of the things the deep state supports regardless of party. Tucker Carlson is a model of independence of thought, and he actually had the guts to apologize. He said, "I'm ashamed that I did that. I'm ashamed that I just simply got on board with the Iraq war." I urge you to read that. I believe I posted it on one of the social media pages. That's one example, Tucker Carlson. The other one is the great James O'Keefe. And headline here on the right scoop, James O'Keefe is back. He is announcing and launching the new media company that he has called the O'Keefe Media Group. Now, I'm going to just quote him directly because this is so doggone important for courage and guts. And nowadays, the price of having courage and integrity and principles, the price is going up, and that's all the more reason that we all have to show it. James O'Keefe said in part, quote, "In paving the way to establish citizen journalism, I have been defamed, arrested, raided, ultimately removed from the organization I spent so much time developing credibility of. I always knew they would try to ruin the reputations of those who exposed them, the pharma giants, the three-letter government agencies, and those who I thought I could trust. But in response, we're going to build an army of investigators and exposers. They have awakened a sleeping giant. I am back." Now, how many of us, how many of you, including not just James O'Keefe and Tucker Carlson, but Donald Trump, how many of us can withstand, and we see examples of it every day on this program, defamation, arrest, raided, ultimately removed from your own organization, all part of a retaliatory government that cannot handle dissent. I got to leave it there. We're going to take a break. I have a marvelous guest coming up. Don't miss it. You're listening to Spouting Off here on WSMN. Don't go away.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Put a frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, Don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
The Reading Foundation provides evaluation and tutorial programs based upon the Orton-Gillingham philosophy of learning, based upon the study of language, how children acquire language, and the mechanisms involved in learning. All the learning pathways of the brain, visual, auditory, kinesthetic, and tactile, are addressed and strengthened to build a strong foundation for the acquisition of reading skills. If you are interested in learning more, please contact the Reading Foundation for more information. The Reading Foundation is at 10 Northern Boulevard, Unit 19, Amherst, New Hampshire, 03031. Or you can email us at readingfoundation_rf@yahoo.com. And of course, you can call anytime at 603-882-0992. The Reading Foundation, Amherst, New Hampshire.
Karen Cataline puts the Judeo in Judeo-Christian. Now back to Spouting Off.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. And I have been looking forward to this next guest for a couple weeks now. I was so excited when I found him on the schedule. Thank you, producer Juan, for booking him. He is really quite a stellar personality, and I had the pleasure of meeting him and having coffee with him many moons ago, waiting for a plane, a night plane back from Alaska to the mainland. I had no idea who he was, and that's okay, but I had a marvelous and very memorable conversation with him. And fast forward, here we are. I'm doing talk radio, and he's continuing to do great things, including putting out a new book called Counterpunch, which we are going to talk about right now. His name is Floyd Brown. He's an American author, speaker, and media commentator. He's founder of Citizens United and the conservative website, The Western Journal, a huge publication, and very high on the list of conservative publications. Floyd has just finished his new groundbreaking book entitled Counterpunch. Touted as a Christian answer to Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, Counterpunch outlines a strategy for mobilizing a peaceful resistance that leads to collective action. Such an honor to have on the line now, Floyd Brown. Thanks for joining us.
Karen, it's great to reconnect, and it's great to talk with you today.
Yeah, it really is. It just shows you, you know, if you keep doing what you do, eventually things come full circle. Congratulations on this new book. Can't wait to hear about it. And here's the little teaser question that is on your Amazon author page, which says, is it possible for renewal to come through peace rather than power? Let's dive right in right now.
Yeah, well, the truth is that I, as you know, I've been involved in politics for 40 plus years. Mm-hmm. And I went to Washington, D.C. to join the Reagan Revolution when I graduated from college in 1983. And I knew we were going to change America. And I wanted to be a part of it. So I'm originally from Seattle. I hopped in my car and I drove to Washington, D.C. and I joined the Reagan administration.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And guess what? America didn't change. Reagan did a lot of great things. We brought down the Berlin Wall. He was a wonderful president. But the same group of people that had been running Washington for a long time when Ronald Reagan left office were still in charge. And then since then, we've had three additional reform waves. We had the Contract for America and Newt Gingrich. and that wave election that happened in 1994. And then who can forget the Tea Party in 2009, 2010, when we had another wave election, and once again, we were going to change America. The Tea Party was going to change America. And then, of course, in 2016, another wave election. Donald Trump wins the presidency by surprise, and Republicans have not only the House, but the Senate also. They've got, you know, all three branches of government, and we know what unfolded the 6 years since then, or the 7 years since then, and not a lot has changed. In fact, things have gotten a lot worse. And so I set out to answer the question, why? Why is that the case? And I think it's because conservatives want, you know, just to be concerned with their own lives. They don't want to be concerned with other people's lives. And so we didn't show up at the grassroots level. We were looking for some messianic figure to sweep into Washington, D.C. and fix everything from the top down, and then we could go back to our lives. That's polar opposite to the way the left works. The left works from the grassroots up, and they take every single position they can on the way up. You know, people ask me, how is it that all of these LGBTQ plus activists are running school boards all over America? A lot of them don't even have kids. Most of them don't have kids. Yet, you know, you go to the school board meeting and there's a lady wearing cat ears with pink hair who's chairman of the school board. And it's because the left was focusing on these races, and Christians and conservatives were totally asleep at the wheel. In fact, it was almost the opposite. You know, at that school board that was controlled by the LGBTQ here in Glendale, believe it or not, across the street from the school that created all the controversy is a megachurch. But that megachurch pastor was telling the people in the pews, you know, we're not going to get involved in politics. We're going to deal with the sacred. That politics is kind of dirty. And so look at what happened. The school board where all the kids go from that megachurch is run by LGBTQ activists. Instead, the pastor should have been saying to the people in the pews, you know what? We need to be running the school board. These are our kids, and we've got families here that are impacted by this. So I want all of you to work together, and we're going to capture the school board. That's the way the left works, and we don't do the same thing. And so my book calls on people to occupy where they're at right now and change things at the local level.
Oh, that's a great summation, and I am delighted that we're going to have you for two big segments. I'm so grateful that you've agreed to stay with us and give us the generosity of your time. Most of what I want to talk about probably in the next segment is going to be about this civil disobedience, nonviolent resistance. I've been a fan of that for decades. But before we get there, I want to backtrack just a bit. You mentioned a lot of conservatives have been asleep at the wheel. And while that's true and people are waking up, what do you say about the people who were professed conservatives or professed Republicans, like the ones who had a majority in the first 2 years of the Trump administration, who, for the lack of a better term, let's just get down and dirty, sold out? They sold out.
Yes, and that's why I say you can't depend on Washington, D.C. So I had a mentor. His name was Stan Evans. M. Stanton Evans is what he has on his books. He wrote a number of great books, and I love Stan. And I served on the board of the American Conservative Union with him and got to know him well and really considered him a mentor. Stan said something to me way back in about 1987. He said, you know, Floyd, when we came to Washington as part of the Reagan Revolution, we knew Washington was a cesspool. And, you know, now that we've been here a couple of years, it kind of feels like a hot tub. And that's the problem.
Each
one of these wave elections has brought people to Washington, D.C., who were good people. They were conservatives. They had the right motives when they got there. But, you know, once they got there and they had, you know, people running around doing what they do in Washington and taking care of their every needs and pouring their coffee and arranging their cars and arranging their, you know, it's a really cushy existence. So what happens is you say, you know, I'll make this tiny little compromise, you know, to keep my job. And then you make a little bit bigger compromise. And then what happens is you wake up 6 or 8 years later and you have become literally what you came to Washington to end.
Precisely. In fact, you could make a great analogy. I mean, I talk about this all the time about making Faustian bargains. The minute you get there, they know. People, the swamp kind of knows what your weaknesses are, kind of like Faust,
or they try to find them out. I mean,
and they play on those weaknesses. Is it money? Is it sex? Is it women? Is it getting reelected for the next 40 years? Whatever it is, they're going to hand that to you, so you'll do what they say. Isn't that right?
Oh, that is so true. And so, you know, I was in Washington from 1983 to 1996, and the reason I left in 1996 is because I literally went into my wife, who has now been my wife of 40 years.
Oh, wonderful.
I went into her and I said, you know, if I don't get out of this town, our marriage is going to break up and I'm going to lose my soul. Mm-hmm. I literally said that to her.
And so
I just got up and I left. And, you know, best decision I ever made. And, you know, I didn't raise my kids there. Good decision, because, you know, when you live in D.C., there's virtually no family time. This is something a lot of people don't understand, but I'll explain it. Capitol Hill is full of gay staffers. I mean, literally, they're probably, I don't know, 2 to 1 over heterosexual staffers.
Why is that?
And people wonder why that is.
why is it?
Yeah. Well, so when I was on staff on Capitol Hill, and you know, I was up there and I was trying to compete head to head against other staffers my same age who were gay, and I had a family. I had 2 kids at home. I wanted to go home at 6 o'clock. And I wanted to spend time on my family. And it's really convenient to have a staffer that will work all the time, except for when he goes to Adams Morgan for gay sex. And, you know, so you've got, you know, hundreds of Republican members of Congress, and their staff have a number of gay staffers. And people wonder why. Well, it's because they work all the time and they don't have families and they don't have lives. And so they automatically excel in those high pressure positions. So it's something, you know, you only really learn having lived through it. But
what you're saying,
an impact on policy. It has an impact on policy, because if you're a pro-traditional marriage Republican and you go and you get a couple of gay staffers, you know, all of a sudden you're saying to yourself, well, maybe I'm wrong on that, and maybe I will go to their gay marriage.
Well, and you know, there have certainly been times in recent history where heterosexual people are workaholics and they sacrifice their families.
There are. And that's one of the reasons why so many marriages break up on Capitol Hill.
We saw them. I no longer live in Colorado, but we saw one of a conservative. He ended up dating a hardcore Republican, ended up dating and having an affair with a Democrat strategist. You know, it's really something. Before we get into...
People are human and people are broken.
Yeah, and some places play on the greatest weaknesses, especially if they have unwholesome intentions. I want to get you to comment, if you would, because I think we agree, and it's heartbreaking to have to admit that we are watching something that we've never seen in this country. A state, a government that is showing maliciousness and hostility towards its own citizens. If people haven't concluded that, maybe they haven't been watching. And so this is a progression, to use a word, of what we've been watching and what you talked about in these wave elections, but we're at a crossroads that I never thought I'd live to see. I'd love for you to just comment on that, take the last couple of minutes before the break, and then we'll get to more about your book on the other side.
Yeah, well, the country has been captured by what I call the military-industrial complex, the pharmaceutical-industrial complex, the media-slash-tech-industrial complex. And so our government is actively not run for the people. And there are so many examples. We can talk maybe after the break about Silicon Valley Bank and the way they're protecting these tech billionaires as opposed to, you know, protecting the little guy with FDIC insurance. What they are doing in essence with those tech guys in Silicon Valley is they're allowing them to privatize their profits from all of their VC investments. But when they run into trouble and they've got problems at the bank and they technically have lost that money that they had in the bank, they're socializing the losses. So they get to keep their profits and they socialize the losses to the little guys. And as a result, our currency is currently depreciating. That's what inflation is. Our paychecks are getting smaller to protect these elite billionaires in Silicon Valley that the government wants to protect. So
what a wealth of information you are, and what a pleasure to talk to you. We have to take a quick break. I might just add to what you said that sometimes the solution was the intention all along, not the problem. We're going to continue this marvelous conversation with Floyd Brown, founder of the Western Journal, and so much more. Stay tuned for that. After this, you're listening to Spouting Off. I'm Karen Cataline. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. The Epoch Times is independent. We're not controlled by any special interest, and we never will be. This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. Read The Difference on all your devices. We'd love to have you on board.
Are you tired of the same old snacks? Looking for something a little healthier than that bag of chips or candy bar? Even your average bag of trail mix these days is little more than peanuts, raisins, and candy-coated chocolate. Not very healthy, is it? Allow me to introduce you to White Mountain Munchies. Made from 100% all-natural ingredients, White Mountain Munchies combines unique flavors with nutritional value that will tingle your taste buds and strengthen and sustain your overall health and wellness. eating good never tasted so good. From Maggie's Maple Madness to Hannah's Heavenly Harvest, Grayson's Getaway Goodies, and our limited edition Christmas blend, Jacoby's Jolly Jumble, White Mountain Munchies offers nutritious and delicious snacks that the whole family is sure to love. Pick yours up now through our easy-to-use online store at whitemountainmunchies.com. White Mountain Munchies, non-GMO when you're on the go.
Sometimes you need a woman's opinion, especially if you're trying to do the impossible, which is to understand women. I'm not really comfortable talking about certain things with women I know or even with family members. I used to wish there was a smart woman who didn't know me, but who would care enough to give me good advice. Now there is. Ask Aunt Emma is for men only, but it's not therapy or phone dating. It's just wise advice. It's completely anonymous because you call and pay through liveadvice.com. So I decided to give it a try. I was amazed at Aunt Emma's insights. She gave me a lot to think about so I could decide what to do next. And maybe she can help you too. Find Ask Aunt Emma on Facebook or register at liveadvice.com and you can speak to her practically right away. Again, you can find Ask Aunt Emma on Facebook or you can register at liveadvice.com. Get the female perspective. Just ask Aunt Emma. Ask Aunt Emma is for men only. Must be 18 or older.
Outdoor Almanac. Brought to you by New Hampshire Fish and Game's Wildlife Journal.
Looking for the antlers that deer shed every year has become a popular pastime. Deer start dropping antlers in January, but for some, the process may take until February or March. In the spring, the antlers grow back again. According to deer experts, the loss of antlers causes the buck no pain. It's been likened to leaves just falling off a tree. So where do you begin to look for sheds? Unfortunately, there's no easy answer. Usually, deer yard up in protected areas like hemlock stands to keep the snow and cold away. But so far this winter, the deer have moved around pretty much wherever they want because of the lack of snow. So if it were me, I'd try fresh trails or fences that they may have jumped. And if you don't find any, well, you had a nice walk. And come spring, the mice and squirrels will find the sheds and chew on them to get their calcium fix. So if you look at it that way, shed hunting is a win-win.
Outdoor Almanac is brought to you by New Hampshire Fish and Game's Wildlife Journal, the magazine for people with outside interests.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
Since 1930, United Way of Greater Nashua has been your trusted partner to fight for the health, education, and financial stability of every person in every community. When a low-income child needs access to dental care, or parents need quality after-school programs where their kids can learn and be safe, United Way is there. When a person with disabilities needs a supportive day program where they can thrive, or a family loses its home and needs a place to regain financial stability, United Way is there. When a homebound senior needs food and supportive social connections, or when it comes time to die with dignity, United Way is there. The programs supported by your United Way are the heart and soul of Greater Nashua. When you volunteer or donate to United Way, you lift up the community where you live and you work. As a highly regarded nonprofit with Charity Navigator and GuideStar, you can be sure that your donations will be used for the work of making Greater Nashua stronger, smarter, and safer. Learn more and connect with us at unitedwaynashua.org.
Sign up for Karen's newsletter and read her columns at karencataline.com. Now back to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everybody, to Spouting Off. If you'd like to join me on my website, I just posted a new article called Here's Your Sign. And that is about people who still wear masks in grocery stores and other places. They're wearing a sign on their face. They're gullible. Is that intolerant? I guess so. It's an opinion. Anyway, I am delighted to have with us for a second segment. It was worth it. It was important. Floyd Brown, an American author, speaker, media commentator, and quite the creator. He founded Citizens United and the conservative media website, huge website, probably in the top 10 for years now, The Western Journal. Thank you so much for staying with us, Floyd Brown.
It's my pleasure. And, you know, one of the things I do in the book Counterpunch is I try to make people understand they are not powerless. You know, we've been suffering under all of these false narratives, and they didn't start with Barack Obama. They didn't start with Joe Biden. We've had false narratives now for decades, and those false narratives make you feel powerless and empower the elites to run your life. And so, you know, I spend quite a bit of time going through them, whether it's the false narrative that Trump was a Russian spy, or that, COVID didn't come out of a laboratory in China, or, you know, what was the efficacy of the jab and masks and all of the other COVID protocols, including the lockdowns, or the Biden laptop was Russian disinformation. These are all narratives, and they're narratives intended to make you feel powerless.
Right. I cannot wait to get into this. You mentioned nonviolent or peaceful resistance, civil disobedience. I said it was a key 3 years ago when we saw the jump the shark moment of the COVID. And here's what I want you to speak to, if you would be so kind. President number 44, the one before Trump, Barack Obama, not afraid to say his name. We used to laugh about him being called a community organizer. What's that? What a pathetic title. And now we find out that that was pretty powerful stuff. And Republicans who love individualism and who it's like herding cats, it's pretty hard. You can't community organize Republicans and conservatives the way the left does it. The left just depends on social pressure. How do you make this into a movement, this whole notion that there are more of us than there are of them, but we have to show that we're not going to comply? How do you make that a force? Can't wait to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. So first of all, unity is built into the DNA of the United States of America. And if you go back to our founding, and if you look at even the name of the country, is the United States. It was all built based on unity and belief in principles. Okay? And so we face a situation today where the left is trying to create tribalism,
yes,
discord, hatred. And the answer to that fundamentally is love. And that means reconnecting with your neighbors. And I talk a lot about local groups that are doing things, you know, on the hyper local level, where, you know, mothers are getting together for coffee, talking about what's happening in their schools, and, community defense and protection groups are organizing because, you know, all of a sudden the police has been cut back because, you know, somebody wants to defund the police. And so they take the protection of the community into their own hands. And these are important things, but we have to come together in unity and in love. And, I take a lot from actually Martin Luther King, and I quote him extensively in the book, whether it's his letter from Birmingham jail or a number of the speeches that he gave, because fundamentally his responses were Christian responses to Jim Crow and what was wrong with America. And so he really nails it in a lot of ways. And when he went to Birmingham in the late 1950s, and he said to the folks in Birmingham, let's just disobey the rules about where we have to sit on a bus. That was an important statement. Now, during COVID, there were a number of us, including myself, who just refused to wear these crazy masks. And, that was a form of disobedience.
Yes.
And, it was tough. I know a number of, I have one good friend who was banned from flights. I have another friend that got arrested in the Detroit airport, you know,
and I just want to point out the news. I mentioned it in my monologue. The news just came out that the CDC bought phone data to monitor Americans' compliance with lockdowns and masks and all of that nonsense, because that's what it was about. Retaliation toward anybody who dared to stand up and say, this is a lie. And you're suggesting that people do it en masse. How do we do that?
Well, it really has to start at the local level. So let me give you an example from yesterday here in Arizona where I'm at.
Okay.
So first of all, I would suggest that conservatives run for every local office they can find, from dog catcher to justice of the peace to the school board to the local town council. There are literally thousands of offices all over the country that you can run for, and you can occupy that piece of ground. Secondly, just because someone up on high says you have to do something, you don't have to. As a local official, I believe you have a right. No, you actually have an obligation to resist unconstitutional directives from above. So here in Arizona, the state legislature passed a law outlawing critical race theory. And this is a curriculum I talk about it quite a bit in my book, that literally is teaching children to be racists. It literally is a theory. White people are bad. Brown and black people are good. And we have to use the government to basically resegregate America and make sure that success is equally distributed among all. And it's antithetical to everything Martin Luther King taught, because he said people should be judged by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. So it is a racist doctrine. So in Arizona, they passed this law to outlaw this blatant racism, and the governor vetoes it. Well, interestingly enough, the state superintendent of instruction, who was in favor of the bill, said, I'm not going to go along with the governor. Instead, I'm going to put up a hotline where parents can call the state superintendent of public instruction's office and talk about CRT in their districts, and then I'm going to send out investigators to investigate it and expose it. So despite the fact that the governor could stop this from becoming law, the lesser magistrates or the lower level officials had the power to fight back if they'd use it. And the more of these, the left loves these little jobs, and they flourish in them, and they thrive in them, and they run for all of them, and we don't show up. And so that's really fundamentally part of what I talk about in the book. Governors have absolutely unbelievable power, as we learned during COVID. But even the Republican governors bowed down to Washington and bowed down to Fauci and bowed down to the pharmaceutical industrial complex and did what they said. Mm-hmm. If a governor had stood up, and actually Ron DeSantis, first he didn't stand up, but later he got his legs and did stand up. Look at how popular he's become because he stood up. And where are all these other Republican governors that just bowed down to these fascists?
Yes. I want to just point out for people, you are so on the money. I'm telling you, you've zeroed in on the thing that could possibly make a huge difference. Your mention of the doctrine of the lesser magistrates, I encourage our listeners to look that up and read it. Very, very important. We don't have time to go into great detail about it.
Yeah, well, about it in the book. So if they get the book, they'll learn about it.
And we want people to get that book. I can't wait to get it. And you're offering a preview, because the book hasn't even been released yet. It will be released April 4th. And I encourage everybody to get it's on pre-order, isn't it?
Yes. And in fact, books are often judged by their pre-orders. And so that's one of the reasons I'm talking to everybody I know and asking them, please pre-order the book. because that will help it get in bookstores. It will help it get different places if there's a lot of pre-orders, and it'll get more widely distributed. And frankly, you know, I want it to catch wildfire, because these are the things that will actually lead to success on our side.
Believe it or not, it has in it a lot of things. You talked about one, believe it or not, I was going to say, we only have about 3 minutes. I'm going to give you the final word. What do you want to leave us with? Let me just tell our listeners, Counterpunch by Floyd G. Brown. You can find it on Amazon, but where else can you find it? Anywhere else?
Yeah, it's at Barnes & Noble. It's at christianbook.com. It's at most major places that have books, you can find it.
Beautiful.
And so, you know, I encourage you to just search Counterpunch, Book Brown, or something like that, and you'll find it. But Amazon is a great place to pre-order it, because a lot of the different bookstores actually look at that data and decide what books they're going to carry.
Okay, so we have about a minute and a half. Such huge issues that we have at least tried to tackle here. Just really grateful having you on the program. You're welcome here anytime. Leave us with your final word, if you would.
Okay, well, my final word is, to understand Washington, D.C., you have to understand that they're a uniparty and that government is very lucrative. That's the reason that they built all these McMansions in the five counties surrounding Washington, D.C. It's the reason they're the richest counties. They have transferred themselves from being public servants to literally being pigs at the trough. And if we're going to stop it, the way to stop it fundamentally is to transfer power from Washington, D.C. back to the state capitals. So, you know, New Hampshire should be running New Hampshire, and Massachusetts should be running Massachusetts, and Vermont should be running Vermont. And the way that we fix this is by lowering the power and the money that's in the central government. And we can do it if we come together. And I actually believe we're at the tipping point, and we're very close, because people are awake and they are ready to take action.
From your mouth to God's ears, Floyd G. Brown, author of Counterpunch, I had to find it there, and Gandhi, who said, even if you're a minority of one, the truth is still the truth. Thank you so much.
Amen.
For joining us, Floyd Brown, and best of luck with the book.
That Thank you. Look it. Forward to coming back.
Oh, I can't wait. That does it for this edition of Spouting Off. And tune in Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern, when there will be lots more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.